Ever since the Veterans Affairs scheduling scandal broke, Congress has been heckling the department to fire more people. Now, Robespierre might have resorted to the guillotine to secure more the French Revolution, but is simply rolling heads the best strategy for getting the performance you want from your staff? John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. He joins me now with why firing is just one small piece of that performance puzzle. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
How'd you like my reference to Robespierre?
I thought that was great.
All right. And is this the best way to go about what's the problems of bedeviling federal agencies?
No. And so here's the deal, Tom. The story that gets a lot of headlines is when we find that there's an employee who has not been doing their job, perhaps for an extended period of time, and it's not being corrected. And then the first thing you start hearing is, you know, we've got to fire that person, and everybody liked them. And it's true. So let's get this out of the way first. It's true that there is a requirement that if an employee is not performing adequately, this is part of the merit system principles put in law in 1978. If an employee is not performing adequately, their performance should be corrected, and those employees should be separated who cannot or will not improve their performance. So yes, there is a proactive requirement that if somebody simply can't do the job for whatever reason, they cannot stay in government. But the issue is, simply counting how many people are fired is not necessarily the best indication of whether or not you have a well-performing government or a well-performing organization. I have this mental image of a bunch of Donald Trump wannabes going around simply saying, you're fired, you're fired. And, at the end of the day, does that really make the organization better? And I think it's highly questionable that if that's all you're looking at. And we've had some recent media articles that pointed out that there's been a slight drop in the number of people fired, and that is an indication that there's real problems here, and not necessarily perhaps it's an indication that employees are performing better. But if all we focus on is how many folks get fired, that's not going to do it.
And I guess also sometimes the calls for firings and the legislation might give rise to the scapegoat phenomenon, in which case the wrong people are fired, but somebody's got to go, so they make an example of someone who may or may not be responsible for the issue at hand.
That's right. Or there may be other things going on that's impeding the mission of the organization, whether it be, a lack of resources or, an ill-defined, work process or lack of training. And simply saying, if we simply fire more people, we're going to get better. Not necessarily. There's, I think the goal here is a highly performing federal workforce that's getting the job done. And the sign of an effective supervisor is not necessarily someone who can fire a lot of folks. It's someone who first can make good hires. And I know earlier in your show, Tom, you talked about if you can, hire 55% of the time a good person, you're ahead of the game. But there's truth to the fact that, good supervisors tend to be those who hire well, but they also tend to be people who know how to motivate and develop their employees. And in part of that development is giving timely and helpful feedback to employees. Sometimes, an employee may think that they're doing a wonderful job, and the fact of the matter is, nobody's corrected them to tell them that, not so much. But here's how we can, do better.
And John, I know the partnership has done a lot of work with respect to how people are brought into agencies. So isn't not just hiring, but also the, I guess they call it onboarding or bringing people in, getting them inculcated into the mission and understanding what they're supposed to do and government culture. Isn't that a big part of whether they succeed eventually?
Absolutely right, Tom. And this is especially important, I think, for people who are going into their first supervisory job. So, I'm a former federal supervisor, manager, and I finally made it to the senior executive service. But I remember my first supervisory job. I had really no training at all in how to be a good supervisor. I was very good at doing the job I was doing. So they figured, well, you could supervise people. And there was a lot of trial and error, that went into, my improving my supervisory skills. And had I had the opportunity for some training before I became a supervisor, or as part of my onboarding into a supervisory role, I would have been better faster. So I think we started off by talking about metrics, Tom, and is simply counting the number of people fired the right metric? And I think the better metrics are folks being hired and onboarded who are well matched to the job, including supervisors. And I know you were talking earlier in the program about the new Government Accountability Office report on dealing with substandard employee performance. And one of the recommendations there, which I thought was a good one, is really focusing on the performance management system, making sure you have vehicles for good feedback, you have training and development, you have a dual career path, so that you don't have to become a supervisor if that's not your strength. You can still progress in the in your organization by becoming a world-class technical expert, perhaps. And, the Federal Employee Viewpoint survey results or other feedback from employees is a very valuable metric. Your employees will tell you whether or not you're hiring good folks, whether or not you're dealing properly with folks who are not performing well. But the bottom line metric, frankly, is the mission getting done effectively and efficiently? And you're not going to know that if you simply count the number of people who are fired.
We're speaking with John Palguda, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And also, the other employees are watching how you handle people. And so not firing or not moving along or not retraining someone who's not effective sends a message, as does arbitrary getting rid of people just for the sake of getting rid of them to please Congress or something. People also see that, too.
Absolutely, Tom. That's a very powerful message. And we know in the annual employee survey that one of the questions that is asked is, whether or not supervisors are dealing adequately with poorly performing employees. And a very large percentage of respondents say no, they are not. And a small percent, like about 28%, will say yes, they are. So yes. Other employees are watching. The good employees, which are most employees in government, are watching, and it's very discouraging to them if they see folks not being held accountable. But more than that, Tom, if they see that employees are not being supported or not getting good performance feedback, they're going to want to ask, why are supervisors not being held more accountable?
John Palguda is the Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks for joining us, John.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.